Blog Talk Radio.
Already.
Welcome to the war room. We got Dez, Kim, Jimmy, PJ, B. Austin, the hot block commander.
How you wanna end a 1 or 2 hour show and get the brain running with the premise of talk sports on a national level? Roll with the topic, sort of like the rubber. When it's game time, they like the Fab Five during prime time. Sports conglomerates speak their minds a little bit. For sports medicine and sports veterans and greats, the 4 for 26 or the war in Kuwait. It's the war room with five knights at the round table. Five Philly guys, diversified and educated.
What up, what up? It's Thursday, January 12th, 2012, and we're here with you for our second installment of the new year. You are once again live in the War Room, brought to you by War Room Sports. I'm Devin McMillan, and I'm at the round table with my dudes Akil Bayon, Jimmy Williams, B. Austin, and Paul Johnson. We got some great topics for you tonight. We're going to discuss a couple pressing issues in the NBA, a big win for Tim Tebow and the Broncos, Twitter boxing, and a whole lot more. Of course, we want to hear from you. As usual, so if you want to join the conversation, jump in that JW Philly Realty chat room right now at blogtalkradio.com/thewarroom or join us on Facebook or Twitter at War Room Sports. You can also call us on the Digital Extreme Tech hotlines at 323-410-0012. Real quick, we want to give a shout-out to our Philly radio partners. Check out Roy and Chris on the Broad Street line every Tuesday at 6 p.m. right here on Blog Talk Radio. But I won't take up any more of your time because it's about time for those birthdays.
My birthday, yay!
Fellas, y'all ready to do this tonight?
Let's go.
Yeah, heidi ho, neighbor.
All right, well, as usual, birthdays are brought to you by Days of Beauty Hair Salon. That's at 9221 Oxon Hill Road in Fort Washington, Maryland. Call Lisa. Get your wig split. All right, fellas, the first birthday we got today is a Philly fan favorite. One Mr. Daryl Dawkins turned 55 yesterday.
My birthday, yay!
Jimmy, Daryl Dawkins.
Yo, you know that I was talking to you on Facebook. I was at the Sixers game a couple nights ago, and Mr. Dawkins blessed us with his presence. And this young man walked in the arena with a real live snake on. Like, he looked at it as a sports jacket, but I think that the joint was, like, biting. He had a real black mamba on.
They showed that on one show yesterday. It might have been PTI. Somebody said the bull came in with an 80-foot python on.
Yo, he came in with a real black mamba jacket on, yo. So I think of that, and of course the long dunks, you know, Chocolate Thunder taking them under and all that old nonsense.
Yeah, all the rhymes and the dunks and the names for his dunks. He's in our album on Facebook, our photo album, that's entitled
Year Week.
So if y'all want to go see some of the outlandish suits that he wears, just go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/warroomsports. And just click on our photo album that's called Your Gear Week, and you can see some of the worst-dressed people in sports. Austin, what do you think of when you think of Daryl Dawkins, Chocolate Thunder?
And now brought to you by B. Austin, Blackface Media.
I see suns in the sky. Cooning is what I do. Shucking and jiving in suits. Entertaining you.
That's what I think of when I think of Daryl Dawkins.
Bam. What's up, Daryl Dawkins?
Yo, everything y'all said, and I will just take the time to name some of his dunks. Yo Mama, Dunk You Very Much, Spine Chiller Supreme, Get Out of the Weighin', Backboard Swayin', Game Delayin'. Then he has If You Ain't Groovin', You Best to Get Movin'. Here you go, Chocolate Thunder Flyin', Glass Flyin', Rump Roastin', Bun Toastin', Robinizine Crying, Glass Still Flying, Babies Crying, Cats Crying, Glass Breaker, I Am Jam.
Yo, that's messed up because all that from an underachiever because he should have been so much better than he was. But shout out to Daryl Dawkins on his birthday. The next birthday is one, he's a new guy in Philly now, one Mr. Dontrell Wayne Willis. Turns 30 today. Kill.
My birthday. Yay!
You think of Dontrell Willis?
I think of what could have been. He came in with such great promise with his unconventional throwing form, and you know, he was roasting cats, and he could hit as a pitcher. But since then, I don't know what happened, man. Dude is like, it reminds me of a Vin Baker type fall off.
Could Dontrell Willis be like Tim Tebow of baseball? Comes in with his unconventional arm, you know, he's winning games and stuff like that, and then falls off. See, the Tim Tebow story hasn't been written yet, so we don't know if he's going to fall off or get better. But they kind of remind me of each other. Jimmy, what do you think of? You think of Dontrell?
Yo, that's the D-Train. I think of I remember when he came in and, like Hill said, he had such promise, and I thought he was going to be a great one, but you never know. That's the thing about sports. Everybody wants to write everybody's story after, like, you know, 1 second. But he became a journeyman at this point. But let's see. Hopefully he does well now. He's a Philadelphia Philly, so let's go.
Yeah, so he's going to be in Philly for about $1 million next year, one-year contract. Austin, Dontrell Willis.
Just a Dontrell.
Journeyman pitcher who looked like his form looked like he was throwing the ball with his elbow. And like somebody else mentioned, I was impressed with his hitting. But I don't think he's like a one-minute type dude. I mean, he's been in the league now. He's 30 years old. It's a wrap. He is what he is.
He's just a wrap. All right, well, you know, pitchers, if they can get it together, pitch a long time. Look at Jamie Moyer, 96. Jamie Moyer trying to make a comeback this year. He's like 96. So our next one is one Mr. Scott Davis Burrell. Scott Burrell turns 41. I'll ask our resident Bulls fan a kill. Scott Burrell, what do you think of him?
He was, I guess, the weakest part of his career was when he played with the Bulls. And other than that, his son played in college. Did his son play for, like, Connecticut or Xavier? Like, Scott Burrell Jr.? He was all right. He was all right.
I don't know. I don't even remember knowing about his son. I just remember Scott Burrell. Yeah, by the time he was with the Bulls, he was basically just a spot-up shooter because, you know, what else you going to do with Mike and Scotty on the team? So, you know, stand over there in the corner, boy, and shoot. So, Austin, what do you think of? You think of Scott Burrell?
He was one of those dudes that was like, he was a very good athlete, good baseball player, good football player, good basketball player. And it was kind of like he just chose basketball instead of one of the other sports. Wasn't great. Was quality, you know, serviceable in the league. But I do kind of remember when he got to the Bulls, it's kind of like, yo, no matter how good you are or what you can do, yo, just get in the corner and shoot, boy, and don't say nothing.
Jimmy.
Yeah, I remember he was actually a first-round draft pick. And, you know, we thought he was going to be a lot better player than he was. But at the end of the day, he had a long career. So he's probably still got some money left because a lot of times those are the guys that don't blow their money.
All right. Well, our last birthday of the day, well, the last one we're actually going to talk about, is one Mr. Jacques Dominique Wilkins turns 52
birthday.
Today.
Yay!
Austin, what do you remember about Jacques? Nobody calls him Jacques.
I know that.
What do you remember about Dominique?
I know that. I know that his names are very, very, very weak. They sound like an attractive French woman. But
I think he was born in France or something. He was born in Paris or something like that. So that
ain't no excuse.
They had the name.
You know, yeah, ain't no excuse for naming him all that. But when I think of Meek, I think of Meek, and I'm like, the conversation we were having on Facebook with some of our supporters and listeners about who is the greatest three-man. And obviously, you know, Larry Legend came up, Bernard King came up, but no one really said Meek. And it's like, as great as he was, I feel like he didn't utilize his athleticism and skill to maximize and optimize and be a winner. So I feel like he left something on the table. I mean, he was definitely one of the greatest scorers we will ever see, but I just feel like he could have done more to be a winner.
Ooh, I feel you. Jimmy, Dominique.
Yo, when I think of Dominique, I think of a lot of things. I think about how when I was a young boy, I used to a lot of chicks and say I was my uncle to try to get some play. I also think about it's kind of what Austin said, but I don't think it was that he didn't utilize his ability. It kind of, you know, I love to slander Mike, but at the same time, and you know, to give Mike props, Mike was, like, so great that a lot of people will be remembered differently than what they were, because Dominique, if it wasn't for Mike being around, like, Dominique would be remembered a whole lot different, because, like,
he was that dude.
Yeah. I mean, he played against the Celtics. That duel that him and Bird had, he was going head up. You know, he gave Bird everything he wanted.
So remember, he shot the foul line, Jay, missed, and just came out of nowhere.
He got his own rebound and punched on everybody, including his own teammates. Yo, he dunked on his own teammates in that play. I'm like, yo, he dunked
yo,
on everybody.
When I saw that, if y'all remember that play, and I was Kevin Willis, I think Kevin Willis was in that picture, I rumbled me. Like, you didn't have to do that.
Yeah, he dunked on everybody, teammates included. But it's like, you know, I know it's not about Michael Jordan, but I think that if Mike wasn't around, guys like Reggie Miller and Dominique Wilkins would have been remembered a little bit different.
Clyde Drexler.
Kill.
Yeah. What I remember about Dominique Wilkins as a young Bulls fan and, you know, them being our division and battling for, you know, whether it's Mike and Dominique fighting over the scoring title. Because one year, I think the year Mike averaged 37, Nick averaged like 34, 35. And them, you know, battling for playoff position. But also, yo, Nick got robbed in that dunk contest, man. I had a chance to watch it again now. Back then, I was like biased. But watching it again recently, I was like, yo, Nick got robbed, man.
I was more of a Mike fan, but I knew back then that they shat it on Nick. He took a feces on Nick in that dunk contest. I remember Zeke when he was explaining that dunk contest, how he was going back and forth, and he had his tongue out like, Nick would come down. And Mike would come down. I'm like, yo, what's wrong with
yo,
your man?
And Nick got about good in that 50 because he just split the bull wig last year, remember that?
Yeah. But last but not least, you know, we've been talking about him for the past few months, so, you know, we don't have to say anything. We just want to give him a would-be birthday shout-out. It would be the birthday of the champ, Smoking Joe Frazier. He would have been 67 today, so we just want to give him a happy birthday salute and a rest in peace.
Rest in peace.
Jimmy, you can let everybody know what happened today and the rest of this week while they were on the grind.
Absolutely. What happened while you were on the grind is brought to you by Philly Auto Design. That's right. Get your car designed by Philly Auto Design. For more information, go to PhillyAutoDesign.com or go to WarrenSports.com, and you'll see the tab for Philly Auto Design. Before I ask you gentlemen anything, I just want to give a shout-out to Barry Larkin, who was the lone inductee into the Hall of Fame. So shout-out to him and congratulations on that.
Salute.
But first story I want to get you guys' opinion on is this. The Canadian fan who threw a banana at Wayne Simmons, who's the Flyers' African-American player, he got hit with a fine this week of a whole $200.
Yeah.
I'm gonna start with you, Doc Bay.
$200.
Yo, like was that like a ticket? You know what I'm saying? That's almost like a bad parking ticket or a speeding ticket. I mean, like, I think don't you get charged more for parking in a handicapped spot?
or driving in the HOV lane without passing. No, but you know what? His lawyer said, first of all, the guy whose name is Christopher Morehouse, who's a Detroit Red Wings fan, he said that his client didn't know that hurling bananas at black athletes could be seen as hateful. Like,
where's he from?
Where are you from? But what they said, the reason why, and he's a 26-year-old cat. They're giving him 90 days to pay the fine, $200 in 90 days. I mean, come on, man. But what they said is there wasn't enough evidence to prove that it was a hate crime. So
they didn't see a banana in him throw it. So I saved you for last, Austin, because you're the Black Panther of the group. So what's your opinion?
Man, I've gotten fined more for looking at a what? Never mind. I ain't gonna say that.
Yo, shout out to Emmett Till. Go ahead.
Emmett, yeah, shout out to Nat Turner. Oh, never mind. I'm sorry.
Let's move on before we lose some fans. Let's talk about Rashard Lewis, who allegedly refused to play in the Wizards game because of an altercation with assistant coach, another Austin favorite, one Sam Cassell. And Austin, since Sam Cassell is one of your favorite players of all time, what is your thoughts on the story of Rashard Lewis wanting to rumble him?
Rashard Lewis isn't good enough of a player to even be in the same building with Sam Cassell. And as I often do, because I think that, well, I have a theory. I think that Sam takes basketball so seriously because there's really not much else that he has going for himself outside of basketball, that he perceives a lack of talent, a lack of effort as disrespectful. And he probably, being such a competitor, he probably still is in Wizards practice, as you actually know, busting their ass. And
he's going to be offended by that?
Huh?
I said, he's supposed to be offended by that?
No.
I'm joking.
Do you think
you're
probably
like
a Gollum? Am I supposed to get mad about that?
Sam,
you're
my whole thing about this situation.
You look
first
more like...
of all, the Wizards are denying it. You know, Sam and Rashard are both denying that it ever happened. But you know, if it's true, I just don't know what can happen with an assistant coach that'll make you refuse to play in a game, especially since you're the second highest paid player in the league at $22 million per.
And you average
8.4 points a game. I think you need to get out there as much as you can and try to prove something, prove that you're not stealing money. But, you know, some people are just cool with stealing money.
Maybe Rashard Lewis found the precious and he wouldn't give it over to Sam to sell. I mean, that's my thought. But anyway, Kill.
Yeah, first of all.
So that's what
Rashard Lewis has been known for, and actually stealing money. So maybe, just maybe, he didn't play hoping he would get fined by the team so he could actually give some of the money back. Maybe that's what happened. And also, the Wizards seem to be the team that leads the league in fight denials. Remember last year they denied that two players fought? So I'm like, what's up with that?
Yo, I do have some information,
though. Because if you just amnesty, they still have to pay him.
Yeah, but it wouldn't make sense to amnesty him now. He in the last year of his deal, so...
Yeah.
I would save that, you know, to get out of a really, really bad contract. But the Wizards have said that they released a statement saying that the reason he wasn't even on the bench for the game was because he didn't have a sport coat. So that's what they're trying to, you know, run by us and trying to make us believe. He wasn't
so all
on
the money
bench.
He makes, my man can't cop a
you make $22 million and you ain't got a sport coat?
The dress code doesn't make you come to the game with a sports coat, but I think if you're on the bench, like if you're injured or something, I think you have to wear a sports coat. So he's claiming he didn't have one because, you know. But
Sam,
if he
Sam
was really injured like
Sam
they said he was, then why didn't he have a sports coat?
They could have sent somebody to get him one of them bums on the bench or one of them starters
on
the team.
I'm pretty sure somebody
anyway.
In the joint, somebody on the team had a sport coat hanging in the locker room somewhere that he could have fit.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
let me ask you guys about this story. Did you guys see the story about J.R. Smith's sister? Well, she allegedly got in the brawl.
Yep.
I'm not even going to say allegedly because I saw the pictures and she was laying a smack down. Yo, now, J.R. Smith is, you know, first of all, he faked a knee injury to try to get out of his contract. And now his sister's in there catching bodies. She was knocking cats out, yo. Did you guys see the story?
Yo,
his sister looks like
that they were playing when she started this fight.
The same one that laid the smackdown on Georgetown.
Yeah.
Shout out to Patrick.
He said,
yo,
dude didn't get a foul call, and she threw a bottle onto the court. And then started
wilding out. Then she was wilding out, though. She was, like, swinging on cats, like, you know. I was like, damn. What's up with
you? I'm going to take another approach to this, and I'm not excusing her actions. I'm not excusing her actions or the way she looks because she looks like her name is Fred. But
she looks like the Gooch, and even though we never seen the Gooch off different strokes, she looks like the Gooch.
But the problem is the team that J.R. Smith's team was playing, the military team, has a reputation But when things aren't going their way, they just get the body blowing cats instead of really fouling them.
So they play real basketball?
No, they hack. They play real jail ball.
Ain't nothing wrong with hacking, man. Look, sometimes you got to hack.
And Wallace made a career out of hacking. And
but yo, my thing is, all right, see, they're both, it's just them versus all of them in China. And my thing is, she better watch out before they come up and say,
I'm here to tell you, Nino Brown says services are no longer needed in the community.
Hey, because well, you know, they felt that she should apologize to them, so they held up J.R. Smith's team's bus for like 45 minutes. They were out there about to handle business. But, you know, that team, that's the wrong team to mess with. I saw what they did to J.R.
Smith. They got the Derek Coleman
got,
one. Remember Derek Coleman
I got
did
the
that?
Tape. I got the tape. I saw what they did to Georgetown.
Yo, remember, shout out to Patrick. Yo, remember they did, Derek Coleman did that? I think it was Chris Webber.
Oh,
you know,
yeah,
they
he
bust up,
up.
Like, yo, tell Webber to get off the up. Bus. You
yo,
know,
Chris
about
was
food?
Scared. Chris Webber was free. Because Derek Coleman wore Dickie suits and Chuckers, and you couldn't tell the difference between him and the average brother from North Philly.
Yo, he's one of the reasons they have a dress code. He's one of the reasons that Rashard Lewis couldn't come to the game, because he used to sit on the john with a two-piece Dickies and Chucks on, even though he was making like $18 million a year.
He's one of the reasons for the dress code, and he's one of the reasons that the NBA started overpaying bums, because everybody know how to ball out in their contract year. Because
yeah,
of
we
Derek
call
Coleman.
That the Derek Coleman theory.
Yeah.
Hey, yo, y'all know the story about the Spencer Hall. What'd you say?
I was saying, y'all know the story of him when he played for the Nets and Butch Beer was the coach, and Butch Beer had a dress code and said players would get fined if they don't adhere to the dress code on flight. And then Derek Coleman just wrote him a check for all the games. Like, all right, here's a check for all my fines.
Yo! Yo, he stole it anyway.
DC,
great. Yo, last story I want to ask you guys about is another War Room hero, one Delonte West. LeBron's pop. He was banned from the Mavericks White House visit due to his criminal past. Anybody got thoughts on this?
Yeah, first of all,
he wasn't even on the championship team. I don't know why those dudes get to go anyway. And second of all, would you let, if a dude got caught riding down the street on a motorcycle with a guitar case full of guns, would you let him in your house?
He shouldn't be let him. No. He shouldn't be let in the White House based upon his YouTube videos.
This is KFC Jones.
Yeah.
Yo, when I used to play with Delonte West as a young man when he was in high school, I didn't think that he was going to turn out like this, man. What's wrong with that dude, man?
That's your man.
Yeah, who knows?
I don't know, but the guy, the head of the Secret Service or somebody like that did come out and say that he was cleared and he could have come. I mean, but that was all after the fact. That was a PR move,
yeah.
I guess.
After the squad was already there.
Hmm. Hey, check this out. Hey, what's wrong with Lamar Odom going to the White House 3 years in a row?
I know.
Yeah,
but do they usually do that, though? Like, the dudes who weren't on the team, do they go to the White House?
I think so.
Dallas won the chip and then gutted their team.
Yeah, like normally normally what happens is they would be playing the Wizards, but I don't think the Mavericks play the Wizards this year, so Mark Cuban just flew there anyway. Yeah,
they
just flew there.
They play him. They play him in Dallas.
He was actually upset with the league because he's like, you know, we're the champions, so in a shortened season, why would you take our Washington visit off? So he's like, all right, I'll do it myself. Then when he decided to do it himself, the league actually got involved. And, you know, tried to save face and help them do whatever
they
needed.
If the Heat would have won, they'd have let them go to the White House once a week.
Hey, look, man, they got black star power. So, you know, they would have did that. I mean, you know, it's all about marketing with David Stern. He bought that bread. Dallas.
Yo, it's because Dirk was German.
I mean, that's part of it, but Dallas is a boring team, though. Yo, did y'all see Vince have a quick flashback the other night, though?
Yeah.
Oh, man. Anyway, that's neither here nor there. Those are the stories that happened this past week while you were on the grind, so it's time to pass the rock.
All right, let's pass that rock, which is brought to you by Bay Financial Services. Get your money right. Just go to our website, worldroomsports.com, click on our sponsors and partners tab, and you will see the website for Bay Financial Services. So I'm just going to inbound tonight because I got a few things on my mind, but I don't want to offend nobody tonight. I'm not in that mood tonight. So I'm going to just go ahead and inbound the ball to my man Kill so he can tell y'all.
Tell him why you mad, son. Tell him why you mad, son.
All right, all right. Good evening, War Room World, as I bring the rock up the court. I just wanted to take the time to talk about Kobe Bryant finding the fountain of youth. And also you can go to our blog and check out our latest blog that the Austin, the Hot Black Amanda put together regarding Kobe Bryant. Now, Kobe Bryant has seemed to be able to turn back the clock with his latest scoring binges and overall efficiency as one of the top players in the NBA, if not the top player in the NBA. In my estimation, Kobe has benefited from not playing in the triangle offense. If we all remember, Michael Jordan saw his scoring average fall from 37 points per game to 28 points per game over a period of years after he switched from a regular NBA offense to the triangle under Bulls coach Phil Jackson, which led to 6 championships and probably would have been 8 if he did not retire. The triangle offense is predicated on timing, movement, spacing, and all 5 guys reading and reacting at the same time to various defensive moves. This is similar to a quarterback and wide receiver reading a defense and using a choice route that the wide receiver and quarterback have predetermined based off the type of coverage the defense has shown at the line of scrimmage. I remember Derek Fisher saying after playoff win a couple of years ago that people don't realize how much Kobe would average if he wasn't playing in the triangle offense and had the chance to run pick and rolls and isolations. He would probably average 40 points. With the triangle now gone, Kobe can use as many pick and rolls as he wants, isolate as much as he wants, and go to any spot on the floor that he wants to show us his foray of offensive moves. Now, to add, Kobe is shooting 46%, which is about what he has shot throughout his career, and getting 6 rebounds and 6 assists, which are about his career averages. What is different, though, is the spring in his legs he has shown while going to the basket. We can credit that to the doctors in Germany he saw over the summer to have plasma transfusions in his knee and ankle. Unfortunately, Kobe has a torn ligament in his shooting wrist, which has to be hindering his shooting touch. So we can only imagine what he would be doing if he was playing at 100%. He has stated that he will not seek the German treatment for his wrist. I can see why, because extra blood to an area won't necessarily reattach a ligament. So with that, I'm done, and I will throw a left-handed pass in the honor of Kobe to JW, the Blueprint.
What's up, good brother? But it's funny you say that because coming into the season, I said the same thing. I said without the triangle, he'll have a great season. Because if you think about it, Mike Brown, a.k.a. I'm going to leave that alone. He's a disciple of Popovich, and Kobe's basically playing the same position that Manu does, but he has a lot more skills than Manu. You know, Manu runs wild, he puts up numbers as well. At any rate, what's up, War Room World? This is War Room Jimmy, a.k.a. The Blueprint, a.k.a. Spike Tarantino. And this week I want to say a couple brief words about Phil Simms, a.k.a. Captain Obvious. This past week, while watching my Broncos play the Pittsburgh Steelers, I was forced to listen to Phil Simms give his commentary on the game. Now, if you can remember, I once talked greasy about Phil Simms due to him stepping to Desmond Howard over an opinion of his son's quarterback skills, but this time I want to talk about Phil Simms' skills as a commentator. During the game, I heard him make statements that left me dumbfounded. Here's an example. Phil said, hey, in order for it to be a forward pass, it's got to go forward. No shat, Sherlock. Great analysis. Now, listen to this one. Phil, in reference to Tebow being hit while running the ball, this is what he says. Remember, when he runs, he's a runner. Seriously, Phil? This is what they pay you for? When he runs, he's a runner? That's your analysis? Look, I'm not saying I could do a better job. As a matter of fact, yes, I am. Phil, you cut it out, Al. You're embarrassing your family name as if Chris and Matthew haven't already tried to ruin that name. Phil, you irritate me. And if I'm going to keep it 100 with everybody out there, it's probably because you decimated my Broncos in the bowl when I was a youngster and I'm still pissed. Yes, I hold grudges, so you, Doug Williams, and Joe Montana can all go to hell. But, by the way, just so people know that you really suck orangutan gonads as an announcer, and I'm not exaggerating, I'll leave you with one more quote from Captain Obvious. This is what Phil said during the game. When things go bad, they don't look good. Huh? Yo, FOH, Phil, I'm nice. I'm going to pass the rock to my man B. Austin, a hot block commander.
Yo, things don't go right. They don't look good. Yo.
That sound like Yogi Bear. That sound like Yogi Bear.
Man, I don't have nothing for y'all, man. Just watch Kobe, man. Watch T-Bow. Enjoy yourselves, man.
Don't
hate. It's bad for your blood. With that, I pass the rock to who's open?
Nobody. Shoot it.
Shoot it up.
That's three. I holds up the Jason Terry three-point sign. Bird Gang, and we out of here.
And the crowd goes wild.
All right, let me tell y'all real quick how to get in touch with us, and then Jimmy can get to this caller who's been waiting on the line for a while. You can check out our website at warroomsports.com. While you're there, be sure to sign up for the War Report, our weekly newsletter. Click on the Contact Us tab to send a message to us about our company, our show, or to inquire about sponsorship and advertising opportunities. For general inquiries, email us at info@warroomsports.com. While you're browsing the site, click on the Memorabilia tab to buy War Room Sports merchandise, and click the Blog tab to read our latest sports articles in the All's Fair in Sports and War blog. Got a blog on there this morning about Kobe Bryant, so go check it out. Then click the respective icons to like our Facebook page, to follow us on Twitter, to subscribe to our iTunes podcast, and to download our free War Room Sports mobile app on your Android and Apple devices. Watch our videos at WarRoomSportsTV.com. Join the JW Philly Realty chat room right now during the show at blogtalkradio.com/the War Room. To get into the chat room, just sign up for a free profile on Blog Talk Radio. If you don't want to create an account, you can sign in through your Facebook or Twitter accounts. And while you're at it, click follow to make the War Room your favorite Blog Talk Radio show and get updates and reminders about the show. We'll be taking questions and reading posts from Facebook, Twitter, and the chat room every week during the show. To call in and speak with us, dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening from your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Pressing 1 is like raising your hand, so raise your hand and you never know, we might just call on you. As a matter of fact, we got somebody waiting now. So, Jimmy, you know, we about to get into this Bama-LSU talk real quick, and I think that's what my man wants to talk about. So right after you tell everybody who the hot topics are brought to us by, you can get
absolutely. I got it. Let's go. Well, if your schedule is too hectic to read as much as you want, you need to try audiobooks. Kick back and let someone else do the reading for you. All you have to do is visit Audible by going to audibletrial.com/warroomsports. In no time, you can be listening to the latest bestsellers, such as The Shaq Uncut, My Story. Yo, y'all listen to that? It is hilarious, and Shaq is talking pork chop greasy about some people. But by going to audibletrial.com/warroomsports, instead of having to read the book, you can have it read to you. So lazy people like myself, that's where you need to go. Now, we do want to get into this Bama-LSU National Championship, and to do so, I'm going to bring in the homie Tobias from Phoenix. He's calling in on the Digital Extreme Technologies hotline. So let me see me pull him on here. Tobias.
Hey, what's going on, gentlemen?
Hey,
Tobias,
what's
going
on?
How are you?
What's up, Tobias?
I know you wanted to talk about that national championship.
He wanted to talk about his.
Oh, yeah. I'm from Alabama, man. Roll Tide. But anyway, I got to say this quick. Phil Sims, like the brother was talking about, he reminded me of the football version of Bill Walton. One time Bill Walton said that Tim Duncan's prime, if he doesn't have a good game, his Spurs will have a hard time winning. I lost it. wow.
That's obvious, huh?
Yeah. Congratulations on the squad national championship.
Roll damn Tide.
Yeah, like my boy Harvey Updike. I know the happiest person was that LSU Tiger. I know Harvey Updike was in New Orleans. The guy... he killed the trees. You know, he the one that had those trees to offer.
That's where I got that quote from. He's like, I know everybody going to be upset when I say this. Roll damn Tide. I'm like, dang.
Hey, and that Tiger probably looking at Harvey, probably had some green meat or something ready to give it to him. But the thing is, like, think about this game. You know, I know a lot of people around the country hated it, you know. Hell, we should have beat them the first time. You know, and personnel. They want to stay on the field.
They were the two best teams. But let me ask your opinion on this. If the roles were reversed and you guys would have won the first game and then lost the national championship, would that have left the same bitter taste in your mouth as LSU fan?
I would have looked at it like this. Probably because I felt like the Alabama was better than them anyway. We kind of blew that game. But I feel like it's kind of like in the NFL when the Patriots beat the Giants the first time.
Yeah.
The Giants beat them in the Super Bowl. That's how you look at it because you got to play on the schedule.
You're right.
And Tobias, you kind of got to realize, okay, that first game was in the regular season. We're playing now, the stakes are higher. So, you know, if we beat you now, you can't really cry about we should have a share of the national championship. We beat you in the national championship.
My problem is you take the whole damn month off. Like, if you're a team and you're hot, because a lot of times, like, say in the NFL, the hot team wins, not necessarily the best team, but if you're hot in college football, like, yeah, y'all got to take a month off in between games.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, LSU quarterback ain't that good. Let's be honest here. LSU quarterback ain't good. The guy came through. He got lucky on the option the first time, first game.
Yeah, he's trash. he's definitely not good. But thanks for your call, Tobias, man. We really appreciate it.
All right, no problem. Roll damn tide.
All right. Roll damn tide. But, yeah, I mean, like you said, the ratings for the game weren't even that good. I forgot what the actual number was, but they said that the ratings weren't as good as they thought they would have been for the game. I mean, probably because people knew that it was kind of going to be a defensive struggle because the first game was a defensive struggle, and you're
that
not bringing in the casual fan with that kind of football.
That game was boring as hell. I'm going to keep it funky with y'all, yo. I cut it off and start watching the Unsung on Bobby Womack because the game was so damn boring. Like,
I didn't cut it off, but I fell asleep like three times. I kept waking up like, damn, they ain't scored yet.
Yo, this game is boring, cuz.
I mean, and me, you know, y'all know me. I try to take the purest route. So I don't really mind a defensive struggle at times, but this was different, man. LSU didn't get across the 50 until it was like 7 minutes left in the game.
Yo, and this game also, what I found interesting is that times have changed, and now with Twitter and everything, like, the kind of slander that LSU's quarterback was getting on Twitter, is like, I felt bad for the young man because, yo, fans were giving him the business.
He should have played
It's like
better.
Back in the day, as a student, you had to deal with that. I mean, he had grown people, like, cussing him out.
Yeah.
Yo, so Jimmy, so you're saying their coach should have stepped up and did
Come
this?
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
Possibly, absolutely, yes. But,
so what do you guys think? Because they actually had a meeting where they're not talking about a full-fledged playoffs, but they are talking about a plus one. So maybe two teams who play in, you know, you'll have maybe the
top four,
the number one team and the fourth ranked team in the nation playing a bowl, and then the number two and number three teams playing a bowl, and then the winners of those games playing the national championship game. What do you guys think about that idea?
I don't think that's that answers all the issues, but at the same time, it's better than what they have. So I'm all for it just because I think it's better than what's currently there.
So basically,
I would agree.
Oh, go ahead, PJ.
No, I was going to say I agree with that too. Like, I think it's better than what they have. It doesn't, like, solve it, the whole deal, but it's better than what they do have.
Yeah, so it's basically will be like a stopgap measure in the eyes of the fans, but like I said, anything is better than just, okay, let's pick who the best teams are and let's just let them play in a certain bowl. Yeah, you got to prove something. I mean, I would rather see like an 8-team playoff, and with the month that they take off before the bowl game, you know, they have time to do it, but you know, the money thing and getting the venues together and stuff like that.
You got to keep them kids, the 18 and then 17, 18, 19-year-old kids, keep them focused for a month. Their mind is all over the place, man.
I mean, they're also supposed to be taking finals and stuff, but really?
Yeah, all right.
Really?
Yeah, that break is cabbage. That break is cabbage. Like, how you going to take, like, 6 weeks off and then go play a game? Like, come on.
What do you guys think about Nick Saban now in terms of his legacy? Because, I believe that's his third BCS championship. And
I mean, it's hard to say that he's not the greatest coach coaching right now. I mean, nobody else can lay claim to that.
Although he did take a feces on the Dolphins, like, I ain't going nowhere. The Alabama job opened up.
I mean, right now, I guess you would have to rank him. He'd have to be one, and Urban Meyer would have to be two, probably. Nick Saban and Urban Meyer.
Yeah, no doubt.
Whatever
no doubt.
Comes after that, who knows? So.
Yeah, shout out.
Congratulations to Bama. Roll damn Tide.
Roll damn Tide. Anyway, let's talk about the New England Patriots. Their offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, was hired as the head coach of Penn State. What do you guys thoughts on this hire? Is it a good move?
Penn State family not really – they're not really feeling it because they wanted a Penn State guy. But it may be best for them as far as moving on. It may be best for them to, you know, clean house and go with an outsider because, I don't know, he might not – he won't get the same – he's going to get scrutiny because of the shape the program is in right now. But it won't be the same thing because certain questions he can't answer because he wasn't there. You know, he wasn't privy to that knowledge. So it might be best to go with someone from the outside. What do you guys think?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, when he goes to recruit, you know, when he's talking to parents, he can say, listen, you know, I know that was a tragic situation, but I was not there and I was not part of it. So, like, I'm, you know, I'm not condoning it, but I wasn't a part of it, so I can't be held responsible kind of deal. And, you know, we're just thinking about moving forward. So he's kind of absolved of the, like, you know, he come into somebody's house and they're looking at him like, yo, dog, you was part of that whole Penn State thing. He's like, nah, I'm new. Like,
totally agree. Totally agree with that. You got to totally divorce yourself. You got to totally divorce yourself from anybody, anything, anyone that was ever associated with that era and time period so that you can make that clean break because that's essentially all it's about on the recruiting front and how the university is represented. You can say, look, we have a fresh start in our football program. And then those that are within that football program can come back and say, listen, you know, I was not around. This is what we've done. These are the measures we've taken to totally turn the ship around, even though, you know, who knows what else was going on that was wrong there. But perception is everything. So,
yeah, I got a question. Would y'all rather have be the head coach at Penn State or offensive coordinator or quarterbacks coach at the Patriots?
Well, I think I would still rather take the Penn State job. Like I said, if he can do something good with the program, he'll be a hero. When you're in an offensive coordinator in New England, Tom Brady's going to get all the credit anyway, so what does it matter?
Belichick's shadow is, like, looming so heavy. But my question is this. So I'm two for it. For one, I think that Penn State needs a whole image makeover. They need to go, like, hire John Cheadle from House of Lies and get a whole image makeover because their logo and everything has to go. That's the first thing. The second thing is change the whole name of the school. The three of you guys have sons, right? Dev, Kill, and B. Austin. If your son was getting recruited by Penn State amongst other schools, what would your reaction be?
I would tell him to weigh his options. I tell him to weigh his options, and whatever we gonna go, where we gonna go? That wouldn't weigh into my decision about him going to Penn State.
Okay, so
I mean,
like,
but think about it, Austin. What if they did hire inside the family? Not that everybody whoever went to Penn State has anything to do with it, but. You know, they took it as far as they could to try to stand behind Sandusky, you know, before they knew everything, you know, before they knew all of the facts. I mean, nobody really just came out on the front line like rah, rah, rah for Sandusky, but they did try to stand behind him. And it's like you just never know what they may have seen in their time. Maybe they haven't seen anything as bad as what the charges are now. But they might have seen him, like, slap a little boy on the butt and just look past it not thinking it was anything. So I was like, in that situation, man, all of y'all guilty. So I just think it's better.
Hey, Jimmy, I got to take. Well, basically, I look at this two ways. If my son was, like, you know, a five-star blue-chip recruit that Penn State was recruiting before the scandal went down, and, you know, he could also go to other top schools in the Big Ten or ACC or what have you. I wouldn't send my son there only because of the perception and the black cloud that's going to be over Penn State for the next few years. I say, okay, go to another school on that level. But if my son was like that next crop that wasn't getting recruited by schools that that highly rated, I'm sure Penn State is losing. They're losing top recruits. So if my son was in that next tier, I'd be like, yeah, go to Penn State. You know, time to get your come up on. You know what I mean?
Yo, but why that black clouds over them, it's too dark to see tomorrow.
So basically, you think that's what's going to happen to the program. They're going to start getting that next tier of player.
Well, that is what's going to happen. But another thing, like I can totally understand Akil's perspective, because when players are drafted, or if you're projected to play beyond college, they look at the level of competition. Sure, there are certain athletes that are so special, if they somehow end up in Division III, they're going to get taken. But, you know, the rule generally is, well, let's draft him here because he faced this level of competition versus let's draft him here because he played at this level of competition. Yeah, we think he's good, but he played in the MEAC, for example. Okay, well, we're going to spend a fifth or a sixth round draft pick on him. Well, we think he's good. He played at Penn State, so we know he faced Big Ten competition, so let's take him in the second round. And that's the difference of millions of dollars.
To all of our listeners, those in the chat room and such, let us know what your thought would be. I know Narandis chimed in. He said they were getting second-tier players anyway. Last time Penn State had a top 20 recruiting class was the Derek Williams group. Now, Dev, you have a son as well. What would your opinion be? Would it sway your opinion either way?
I mean, in the end, you know, it would be his decision. But, I mean, I don't think it would really sway my opinion. I just think in this situation, it would be best for them to go with somebody that's outside the family and start fresh. So,
yeah.
You know,
if
Bill O'Brien came to sit on the couch, you know, I would listen to him.
No doubt. All right. Last quick hot topic I want to jump into is a little boxing, little pugilism real quick. Floyd calls out Manny on Twitter. Yeah, they were Twitter banging. Floyd called out Manny on Twitter. And Bob Arum, I'll give him credit because, you know, we've been talking about this all week, and I was saying how Bob Arum's blocking the fight. I give Bob Arum credit today. He actually came out and kept it funky. He was like, yo, what's about the bread? So I can't even knock him because he was honest.
I got the quote, what he said on Twitter. And first I was like wondering, like, do Manny even got a Twitter account? But you know, he knew if he put this on Twitter, it was going to get out there. He said, Manny Pacquiao, I'm calling you out. Let's fight May 5th and get a world they want to see. He followed up by saying, my jail sentence was pushed back because the date was locked in. Step up, punk. Twitter punk theme. Step up, punk.
He Twitter jumping.
Yeah. I mean, that was one of those things, though. I think Floyd, you know, he's a smart dude. Floyd knows that there's really no way that this fight at this point can get set for May 5th. So I think he was doing everything he could to change public perception, because none of us really know who's been ducking who or whose fault it is that the fight isn't going on, and everybody speculates. So I think each camp tries their best. Each camp tries their best to try to sway public opinion. But like Jimmy said, Arum kept it fun. Go ahead, Austin.
You did a wonderful job of politically correctly PCing through that. Floyd's a coward. He called somebody out. He called somebody out to for possibly one of the biggest historical fights ever to see it get made in 2 months. How they gonna make that fight in 2 months?
I think Austin and Mike Wilbon has called Floyd a coward more than anybody in the world.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. Like with me, I was just trying to point out the fact that I don't think it's just him ducking. There's so much more to it. I don't think that
it's just the money policy.
There's definitely Bob Arum weighs in. Bob Arum is a female dog in this, because he's an exploitationist, and his whole thing is, if Manny get knocked out by Floyd, I will never see another Manny check. So I got to keep Manny from getting knocked out by Floyd so I can make these additional paydays.
Here's the thing, Austin. A couple things about it is, for one, Bob Arum has lost all his juice in boxing. De La Hoya is running the whole sport at this point. Manny is his last big fighter. I mean, he has a couple other fighters that all the other fighters that he's trying to make Manny fight. But, you know, Floyd does business with Oscar, and Oscar's like, look, Golden Boy Promotions is running boxing, and they don't deal with Arum either. So Am's going to hold on to all these nice mini checks as long as he can. But at the same
time, because you know the knee-jerk nature of boxing. You know, a champion, he loses one fight when he's, you know, kind of advanced in age. As soon as he loses, they're going to say his career is over. So I see what you're saying. Like, dude was like, this is my only cash cow. So I got to make this dude fight as much as I can before I put him in a riskless fight.
Manny was going to fight somebody, Garcia or Martinez, in May. He initially said May. But then once May got opened up for Floyd, then he changed it to June. So it's not like the fight couldn't have got made. He's going to fight Garcia Martinez.
Well, financial dude came out and said that they could do May, but they could do late May. They're waiting for that new building to be built in Vegas because they said the MGM Grand only holds 17,000. Now, this new building is supposed to hold 45. So they're like, that can add like $30 million onto the earnings. Like the MGM Grand, they said you can make about $20 million in there with the 17,000 seats. This could add an additional $30 million to it. So he's saying, why wouldn't we wait and get, you know, a bigger purse altogether?
These dudes going to end up fighting like Bernard and Roy Jones' rematch. They're going to be about 50 by the time they fight. You know what I'm saying? I don't know what's going on. I don't understand what the whole deal is. Like Dad said, we don't really know what's really holding it up. But, like, with the De La Hoya thing, De La Hoya is a predator. And what he does is he goes and hires all the old over-the-hill boxers, hires them and makes them sub-promoters on De La Hoya Boxing to get all the fighters that, you know, looked up to them, like Bernard and, you know, got Shane and Che Mosley in there in some way. Like, he's making them dudes like mini promoters of De La Hoya so they can go out and scout and get young
like
boxers that look up to them.
He
got a marketing experiment job.
He got a most of them a marketing job with him boxing, yeah.
I definitely agree with that, but there's one fighter that I'm not sure that it's about business. I think he and Sugar Tank Shane, you know, their lifestyles coincide, so they're kind of the...
they both do coke through their butthole.
Sometimes. Yo, but John Bat just said in our chat room, and a lot of people said on our Facebook page, why don't they just go to Dallas Stadium?
Yeah, I actually said the same thing, but then when you think about it, a fight this big, you know, Vegas just has that allure, you know what I'm saying? There's going to be a lot of gambling around this fight. Every gambler isn't savvy enough to put their bet in through the phone or the internet. So some people need to be in that town when a big event like this is going on, so... I mean, it would make sense. They probably, as many people that are anticipating this fight, they mess around and fill Cowboy Stadium.
Kenny Rogers doesn't use the internet to bet.
But what allure, you know, does the city of Dallas have for possibly the biggest boxing match of all time?
It has to be in Vegas.
You take it back to Mike Tyson days. Take it to Atlantic City.
Bob Arum came out today and was like, basically, it's about that money. So he admitted it, though, so I give him credit for that.
Yeah, they said if they do it in late May or early June, they can get more money and they can get that 50-50 split. And so let's, man, just make it happen.
Yeah,
50-50
that's all.
On 100,
that's the bottom line. Yo, let's jump into a game, one of our favorite games of HOF or FOH. I know, Dev, you chose somebody, right?
Yeah, we haven't played HOF or FOH in a long time, so we're going to get a round of that in tonight. Somebody found that. Where's that sound bite? That choice is yours. But real quick, HOF or FOH is brought to you by Stitcher Smart Radio. You can now hear our show, The War Room, on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your computer, your iPhone, your Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phone. The latest episode is always available for you. No syncing needed and no memory or storage wasted. Downloading is easy. Click on the Stitcher logo on our website and listen, or download to your mobile phone directly from that page. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. All right, fellas. I have somebody tonight for the HOF and FOH. And if you're a first-time listener and you've never heard this segment before, it's basically self-explanatory. HOF means Hall of Fame, or FOH means F out of here. So one of us will come up with a player in any sport, and the fellows will briefly debate and give their thoughts on whether or not this person should get into the Hall of Fame. So without further ado, the subject of tonight's game is a recently announced retired wide receiver, Derek Mason. Who wants to go first? Derek Mason.
And funds on hold.
Go ahead, Austin. You got it, man.
Funds on hold. Franklin Oscar Havlicek. Freddie Oscar Henry. And my reason being, the Hall of Fame should be, and this is just my opinion, the Hall of Fame should be about dominance, excellence, and success, I guess, in that order for me. Dominance being key. And I don't think that – I don't believe that Mason was ever really dominant at the position. I think he's a quality receiver. I think when you put him in a position to be a number one, he's average. You know, he's not going to carry your team, but he's great as a number two. So when you have a Hall of Famer at any position on the football field and – we're talking dominance. That means he's facing doubles, sometimes triple teams. Offensively, that guy has to be accounted for with at least two, if not three, other defensive players. And beyond that, he still produces tremendous numbers.
Let me read you his numbers real quick, Austin. He has 943 receptions for 12,061 yards and 66 touchdowns.
Mm-hmm. And also read the number of seasons.
He was in the league from 97 to 2011.
He played 16 seasons.
16 seasons.
I'll go second. There's no way he should be in the Hall of Fame, yo. He only made it a Pro Bowl twice, like. No, you can't go into the Hall of Fame and make the damn Pro Bowl twice, fam. He's a compiler.
I mean,
well, at the same time, only like four receivers can go to the Pro Bowl.
I get what you're saying, but he only made it twice.
He was a good receiver. I mean, he had very good hands. He was.
Oh, yeah,
I don't want to. He was. I mean, yeah, you're right. But you got to be better than good to be in the Hall of Fame. But. Yeah, I don't know. He had some good seasons with Tennessee, man. I don't know. I don't think I would put him in, but I don't think I would just throw him over the fence and stomp on his head and say, get the hell out of here. What you doing around here?
No, no. In my book, he stomped. There's
no
way.
I would stomp all over him. Like,
y'all
stomping on
him. One of the top receivers on his time.
Yeah. Go ahead. I'll go.
And he had 1,000-plus yard seasons.
And he had 100 reception seasons.
He had 103, 96, 95, 86.
Yeah, I wouldn't start on him, man. He ain't a bum, y'all. Like I know y'all ain't any bum.
I'm not saying
you know what,
BJ?
He just never had that star power.
Nobody
ever looked at him as an elite receiver, even though he was quietly going about his business and putting up numbers.
Very sure-handed dude, though.
Yeah, he was, in my estimation, like, I say no, funds on hold, but it's really close. Like, he might get in after about 15 years or something, but
he was the master of the 18th ballot Hall of Famer.
But, just out of, like, you know, but when they say his career, when they match it up, he's on pace with, like, Hines Ward, Charlie Taylor, who's in the Hall of Fame, Harold Carmichael, Keenan McCardell, Anthony Miller, Andre Rison, Drew Pearson, Drew Hill, Lance Allworth, who's in the Hall of Fame, and John Stallworth. Now, Allworth and Stallworth, they played in a different era. So
So his stats, you know, they played in the less passing era, and so did Charlie Taylor. So also he's the all time leader in receiving yardage for the Baltimore Ravens, but that ain't hard to be. But
ain't
still,
that
ain't hard to be in here, but still,
it's not. But for the Ravens, he had 1,073. 750, 1087, 1037, 1028, 802. So, you know, he was getting it. He's going to make it hard to play.
The majority of his seasons as a Raven, he had a stack in yardage.
I don't even care about that. So, basically, if he gets in, you saying Keenan McCardell should get in too?
All right, but listen. No.
Keenan McCardell's hairdo is weak. He can't get it.
I've been kind of defending the dude the whole time because, like PJ said, y'all was kind of stomping him out. But I give him an FOH, too. I didn't even put Chris Carter in the Hall of Fame. I'm not putting this dude in the Hall of Fame.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
you were tripping, man.
I ain't tripping. I still wouldn't put Chris Carter in the Hall of Fame.
Is Isaac Bruce in the Hall of Fame?
No,
not yet.
I think
he just became
eligible. I think
because he ain't
eligible.
Better than Isaac Bruce.
No, he's not better.
Let me. That's a great point. That's a great point, Jimmy. There are three receivers I think of when I think of Desmond Mason. I compare them: Marvin Harrison, Isaac Bruce,
Desmond Mason.
Oh yeah,
he's talking about the basketball dude.
Derek Mason. Excuse me. When I think of Derek Mason, I think of Isaac Bruce, Marvin Harrison, Torrey Holt. They're similar physicality, similar way of playing, but the difference is those three guys are number ones, and dude has never really been, as a primary, he's been a number one, but it's just not like he's dominant.
He's not better than Torrey Holt or Isaac Bruce, yo.
A lot of people that ain't better than Torrey Holt and Isaac Bruce.
And he damn sure ain't better than Mars. Yo.
And
some would argue
it's the system that he played in, because he played in a lot of run first systems. But my thing is, a Hall of Famer, a true quality, dominant Hall of Famer, is going to make you recognize that talent and change your system to accommodate that type of talent.
Let me ask y'all this question: is he better than Irving Fryer?
Irving Fryer. Yeah, people just Philly people just remember Irv when he came to Philly. Irvin Fryer when he was a Patriot.
Irvin Fryer made the
best receivers.
Yeah, I think he was better than Irvin Fryer. I think he was.
Hold on. I don't know about that.
Irvin Fryer made the
Pro Bowl five times.
Football cards.
First off, Irvin Fryer was the first pick in the draft when he came out.
Yeah. He had 5,000-yard seasons, and Mason had 8.
Kind of a different era. Yeah,
true.
Absolutely.
I mean, it's going to get really hard to compare errors, because it's going to be some average receivers who are going to be putting up crazy numbers from here on out because it's a pass-happy league. So,
like Kevin Curtis.
I mean, that's fine. Unanimous FOH, so we probably don't have to go any further. Everybody who weighed in on our Facebook page gave him an FOH, too. But I'm in the book. It's an FOH, but I ain't stomping his head out about it.
I ain't disrespecting him. I'm not disrespecting him. He was nice.
Jimmy said I am.
You can mark me down for that.
He said Marv always fell to the ground after a catch. He said he's better than any receiver
y'all had other than Brandon Marshall.
Yo, he ain't better than Rod Smith.
Is he better than Vance Johnson?
Who ain't better than Vance Johnson?
He
better than Vance Johnson.
Yo, he ain't better than Rod. Yo, Rod Smith made 3 Pro Bowls, man.
Nah, he's not better than Rod, and they played in the same conference,
and Rod Smith made more Pro Bowls. That's all
he's. He's not better than Rod Tidwell either, but we got to move on. That's a unanimous FOH. Derek Mason will not be getting into the War Room Sports Hall of Fame. But he got a couple people that at least feel sorry for him. Akil going to put him in the
Before we move on, yo, tell Naran to stop slandering Marvin Harrison in our chat room. He said Marv was a chump. He always fell to the ground after a catch. His career yak is minus .06.
-0.06.
Yeah, oh, minus 0.6. I'm sorry. Yeah. So he got a negative yak.
Catch the ball.
Catch the ball and run backwards.
Right, so
that's because he weighed like a $1.63.
Yeah.
Oh, God. Anyway, all right, man.
So before we continue into this football talk, let me just tell y'all real quick, you can check us out on our website at warroomsports.com. And to call in and speak to us about any of tonight's topics, just dial the Digital Extreme Tech hotline at 323-410-0012. Just press 1 when prompted. If you're already listening on your phone, just press 1 if you want to talk. Booyah. So, fellas, Romeo Crennel was hired in Kansas City as the head coach. Hugh Jackson was fired in Oakland. Sperano was hired as the offensive coordinator in New York amidst all the anonymous Sanchez criticism. What do y'all think about that situation? I mean, there's a lot of players and some people on the staff who actually came out, but they came out anonymously and
yo,
said
that,
some things,
yo,
about Sanchez. Here's some of the bigger quotes, because actually we have about 10 quotes here, but we're just going to read a few of them. We got to bring in another quarterback that will make him work at practice. He's lazy and content because he knows that he's not going to be benched. Then they asked some people about pursuing Peyton Manning offseason. Somebody's like, come on, that's a no-brainer. If you have a chance to get a healthy 36-year-old Peyton Manning and you don't do it, then you're stupid. If I could get a healthy 36-year-old Peyton Manning, then hell yeah, I'd trade Sanchez.
Like, that's probably Rex Ryan.
And then there was a few people that kind of, it was like backhanded compliments where they were like, well, you know, the system that we put him in, you know, made him uncomfortable. He's always getting hit, so he's probably worrying about it. Somebody else said that the team coddles him too much. What do you guys think? Because we've seen Sanchez, you know, kind of up close and personal when they had the Hard Knocks a few years ago. I saw some of these traits that they're talking about. What about you guys?
What, bitch assness?
Yo, remember when they had the show, though, and like, he would do something wrong, and he'd be told about it by Brian Schottenheimer, and he would just go pouting instead of just, you know, working or looking to study harder or do something about it. He was real pouty, and I noticed that back then, so that was 2 years ago. Like come on, dude.
Yeah,
man.
I mean, if he knows that he has the gig and he knows that, you know, no one's looking over his shoulder, you know, it's funny because I know this has like nothing to do with it, but when you watch the Miami Heat, you see Chalmers balling now. Once he saw that young boy come in there and start balling, it's like, yo, I'm not safe. And I think sometimes athletes need that. They need a push. They need a push in the tuckers to make him work hard. He doesn't work hard. You know what I mean? So it is what it is.
I don't agree with the players going in.
Go ahead, PJ.
I was just going to say, I don't agree with the players going at like that anonymously and just like, I mean, I'm sure they were asked the questions, but I don't like a whole lot of players going public like that anonymously with those types of quotes. I can't speak to him in practice too much, but he does seem to be like, I don't really see any improvement in Sanchez. And I feel like they wanted him to be better by, you know, they always reference the AFC Championship games that he got to. About him being a winner. But I just never saw that much from Sanchez. Like, and you see, like, I think this year was really, you could see it more. And I don't know. I don't know.
When the team is losing, everything starts to be a little more noticeable. I mean, really didn't notice it when they were winning.
Like,
remember, fellas, the last 2 years I've been saying the Jets are a Super Bowl-ready team, in my opinion, and I thought Sanchez was the only thing holding them back.
I think there's two separate things to talk about. Number one, whoever's calling him out, they're cowards, because if you have a problem with that man, go to him in the locker room and let him know, listen, dog, you need to work hard.
Yeah, especially if he's not working hard. You got
to
step
through. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? So you don't need to call him out. But that being said, the only quarterback that I would say is worse, like noticeably worse than Tim Tebow, is Mark Sanchez. Like,
something else was coming.
He's garbage. He's garbage. You thought Donovan, they're about to tie.
No, I mean, I thought you were going to bring him up because they were talking about how Mark Sanchez was being coddled. And you did just say, you know, these guys should step to him. But if you think about it, if you're the quarterback of a team in a big city like New York, in a city like Philadelphia, if the ownership and the organization are in coddle mode with you, dudes might not be able to say anything to you. You saw what happened when people said stuff about Boston. You saw what happened when people said stuff about Donovan. They got run out of town.
They had to do sit-ups on their driveway. They couldn't even work out in the facility.
Yo, your man Fred actually got blackballed. He opening rear shots that ain't even making.
Drive a school bus.
All because he slandered Donovan, yo. But here's my thing. What bothers me is it looks like he doesn't care. This is just my perception. When I watch him play, like, when he makes mistakes, he doesn't look like he even bothers him. Like, you know, I want somebody to show. You don't have to be like Phillip Rivers and go overboard with it, but at the same time, look like you care. You don't have to be the other and either like Rodney Pete smiling, but he just looks like he doesn't care.
Yeah, I mean, and that's what some of the quotes were saying. Like, you know, he's lazy. You know, he does look like he doesn't care, and you know, he's doing stuff like GQ spreads and stuff like that.
Like getting all kinds of yams in New York.
Yeah. I mean, and they look at that and realize, you know, they're not doing stuff like that. Whether or not it really, you know, has any bearing on his play or anything, that's what dudes are looking at. Like, he's doing all this extra stuff, and you're getting all the credit for being the quarterback in the big city, but you're not really doing anything at the position.
And one thing I would say real quick is that Tom Brady has done GQ spreads as well, but Tom Brady still carries himself like one of the guys. Like, he's still one of the guys. Like, he's still down, and you see Tom Brady going crazy on the sideline. Now, granted, that could be fake. I don't believe it is. But just for, you know, for the sake of argument, you can say that that's fake. But he's still down on that level. Like, he's still, like, with the alignment. He's a grunt just like them dudes. But he can do GQ outside of the thing.
But you know what, though? I actually heard them talking about this a few times on Mike and Mike. And I agreed. I forgot who said something, but you know, I always scream at the radio anyway, like they can hear me. But I'm like, Tom Brady did GQ. Like, he had to become Tom Brady before he started doing that stuff. Sanchez has kind of handed this stuff as soon as he walked into the league because, you know, by all accounts, by all marketing accounts, he's a good-looking dude. You know what I'm saying? He's playing in New York. So pause these nuts. That kind of stuff comes with the territory. You know what I'm saying? So he hasn't earned it. You know what I'm saying?
Tom still, and that's a key. It's about earning it. Tom still has a chip on his shoulder. Even with guys like Tebow, he thinks like Tebow's getting it too easy and too early. And Tom's more like he's cut from that Michael Jordan cloth. He wants to step on your grandma's neck. He's trying to step on your neck to win.
Yeah. I mean, he got that chip on his shoulder, though. He was the number six
pick. Yeah, I mean,
a sixth-round pick, and cats like Sanchez go early in the draft and get all of this stuff handed to him that he had to earn. Like, Tom Brady had to work to get his Uggs contract.
Yo, Phillip Rivers be looking like he ready to commit suicide when he makes a mistake. Like, he be so in tune with the game that he be going like crazy, but at the same time, your teammates respond to that. If you're just walking around like it is what it is, you know what I'm saying? And then, you know, that's when you get all this kind of slander. As bad as a season as Phillip Rivers had this year, I doubt his teammates would come out and talk greasy about him like this.
Yeah. But I agree with what PJ was saying, though. I don't think this is the way that they should actually handle it by going to the media and putting him out there like that. But it might have the desired effect. You know what I'm saying? Either Mark Sanchez is going to take the words to heart and maybe try to shape up a little bit, or the organization might stop openly coddling this dude in front of the rest of the team and actually make him work and earn his stripes. So, or it could just destroy the team because he's going to be looking over his shoulder in the locker room wondering who said it. And
so basically the team is being run as if Mike Brown was the coach.
Yeah, basically. But let's move on to the next joint, the next story. Of course, we had to talk about Sunday's game. Your boy Tim Tebow does it again, and you know, I laughed all week as people came to the Facebook page, you know, saying F. Tim Tebow and stuff like that. What did you guys think of that game? What did you think of the pass and overtime, just the whole situation? Because we went into that, they're playing the Pittsburgh Steelers, and nobody gave them a chance.
All I'm going to say is God bless. Y'all right, y'all got it.
What do you think, Austin?
He's just demonstrating more and more that his skill level and passing acumen are coming up to match his intangibles. You know, it was an impressive display. We all know he's not a conventional quarterback. We know as far as conventional quarterbacking is concerned, he's horrible. But he has those intangibles, and he's a winner. And
yeah.
That pass to win that game was as good a pass as you can throw on a 20-yard crossing route. Put it right on the money so he can run. On my team, I had a quarterback on the team I root for that couldn't make that throw, and he was getting paid $100 million and had been in the league for 11 years.
Well, listen, my thoughts on it are I think he's improving as a passer. He's still very erratic, and he's still very, very inconsistent. I mean, it's going to be a while before this dude is more than a 50% completion rate type of passer. But I heard the Tractor say all week that, oh, everybody's celebrating the pass, and my grandmother could have made that pass and this and that. See, but that's where people kind of go wrong, because we spent the last 9 weeks talking about how he couldn't make that pass. And whether you think 15 to 20 yards in route on the money is a normal, conventional pass that everybody can make, you know, which is I don't think is true, either way you slice it, it was a very good pass. I heard a few people say that the receiver should have got more of the credit for the run. But I'm looking at it this way. You hit the man in stride, running full speed. How many times do people get that? Like Austin just said, you have quarterbacks who make $100 million more than once in their career who can't hit passes like that, where dudes are running full speed. Yak is very important, and yak a lot of times comes from the accuracy of the quarterback. Now, had the receiver not been so slow, the dude wouldn't even have caught up to him for him to have to make the stiff arm. But the run was impressive. But coming from Tim Tebow, I think the pass was really, really impressive.
Well, I'm going to make a quick statement about this whole thing. The whole thing is he at all his games from this season, the playoffs and last season, he still hasn't played a full season yet. And I've never seen
everybody's
somebody criticize this much. Like, yo, this dude, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what he's going to end up becoming, whether it's good or bad. But at the end of the day, he hasn't even played 16 games yet. You got guys like, you know, Cam Newton. I'm not comparing him when people start slandering me. I'm not comparing him to Cam Newton. But Cam Newton has already played a full season. This guy hasn't even had the benefit of that yet. Hasn't had an off season that I've really worked with his coaches because of the lockout this past season. And, you know, they're in the second round of the playoffs. Yo, we came from being the number two. We had the number two pick of the draft to being in the second round of the playoffs. So, I mean, it's crazy the kind of slander he gets. And people say that the media gives him too much hype. Yo, I know from a war room standpoint, we see more hate than hype. He gets, like, complete hate. Somebody told me that he don't do nothing but throw short passes and people run. I said, what do you think Joe Montana did? Joe Montana Come on, man.
Well, we all know when we touched on the black protectionist.
No, that's blasphemy, but Joe Montana had a noodle arm forever.
He did. I mean, he made some nice throws, like on the same, similar to the throw that Tebow made, like post patterns.
But you know what, though? You know what, Dev? That's fine, because it's not even really blasphemy. It's really an education for the casual fan to understand that a strong arm does not a good quarterback make. Accuracy and intellect are everything in quarterbacking. Matt Hasselbeck doesn't have a strong arm.
Joe Montana was like a rich man's Chad Pennington.
Yo, man,
yeah.
Look,
yeah.
Jamarcus Russell could throw the ball 80 yards on his knees.
But he garbage. He drank that purple drink.
Yeah, but that's my whole thing. I think from our standpoint, he gets way more slander than he does praise. And that's why we like messing with people, because they don't even realize it.
Yeah, he was voted in an ESPN poll yesterday as America's favorite athlete. But all of these polls are coming. I mean, nobody called me, so I don't know where every poll I hear of in any subject, sports, politics, anything, nobody ever calls me. So I'm like, you know, how do they think they're getting the word of the people? They didn't even ask me. They got to ask me.
I would have voted with Serena. That's just my personal opinion. Go ahead.
All right, so what other standout performances do you guys remember from Wild Card Weekend? What about, well, with me, PJ, we tried to tell y'all for the last 2-3 years about Atlanta. So I don't have to say anything about that.
Well, it's like I agree with y'all, but y'all, like, y'all really be going ham on it.
No faith.
Every time I think about it, I'm like, yo, 7 people probably laughing.
Yo, I feel bad for Michael Turner, man. He doesn't deserve that.
What do you think the problem is?
And their defense.
I think the problem is overhype. I mean, I just don't think they're on that level that.
I mean, so what do they need,
though?
In terms of their team, what does their team need to take it to the next level?
Some heart
balls.
they got mammals on the outside because I was still playing at a high level. They got a nice running back, offensive line. So he's either a quarterback or something on the defensive side of the ball.
I think Matty Ice is overrated. I don't think that he's a bad quarterback, but you know he's coming in with this nickname Matty Ice as if he's ice water in the clutch because he's had a couple of fourth quarter wins in the regular season, but it seems like every time they get into a big game, you know, it's not really working for them that way. So, I mean, it's hard to kind of pinpoint exactly what you're asking for, Jim, but to me, the first thing, it seems like as a team, they just don't play with much heart.
Yeah. Let me ask our fans out there, those on Facebook and in our chat room, what do you think Atlanta needs to take it to the next level? PJ and Kill, y'all got any opinions on Atlanta? Like, I know PJ thinks they're trash, but what do you think they need to take it to the next level?
I don't know, man, because they win all these games and, you know, they're roasting people in the dome and then come playoff time, they're losing the dome. And maybe they need to, like, get with Phil Jackson and do some, like, go to Montana and smoke some peyote or something. I don't know, man.
They need to start practicing yoga or something, go hang with Russell Simmons. But,
that's a good thing, too. I mean, that's a sign of a lack of heart, too, when you can't win on the road. That's, you know.
Yeah. A good point. I was surprised because the Giants have a woman in their backfield. She's a very large woman, but I mean, she showed up and played.
Who, Medea? I mean, Brandon Jacobs.
Yeah, Medea Jacobs. She balled.
Some Giants fans on Sunday took exception to me calling him Brandy Jacobs. Come on.
Why? That's what he is.
Looks like a biatch. He runs like a biatch. He must be a biatch. I'm saying.
That's what he is.
Not my fault. I think he played really well on Sunday. I was actually giving him a compliment. They just didn't like, you know, me calling him out of his, you know, outside of his name. But comes with the territory. That's what I do.
I mean, at the end of the day,
Eli's the truth. Their D-line, their D-line, when they're healthy and they're clicking on all cylinders, They're formidable, man. They're top five D line in the league.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it could be worse. They could be the Buccaneers, who stink. I'm joking. I just said that because I know Willie's listening. So
I actually on Wild Card Weekend, I actually picked Cincinnati to win, and that didn't happen as we all saw. What was their shortcoming? Was it just a rookie quarterback? You know, just the moment that was
Jones.
Too big for him.
Pac-Man Jones being a rookie look.
They left Pac-Man Jones on Andre Johnson one-on-one. But other than that, the quarterback made some mistakes, but like you said, he is a rookie, so he can, like, learn from this and get better. But it's funny how he doesn't get any slander at all.
However, this is the Cincinnati Bengals, though. There's no promise that he'll ever get back to the playoffs for the rest of his career.
This is true. This is true. They may take a step backwards, and you may see AJ Green doing reality shows or something and lose focus. You know, but
who Who is JT or YT Yates, whatever his name is?
He's their third string quarterback. That's what they're down to now. But he's played well down the stretch of the season. So Houston actually, with their defense, they feel, you know, kind of confident that they can still make a run with Yates behind center. I think he's pretty good. I don't think he played too well against Cincinnati. But
Pac-Man Jones is pretty confident they can make a run, too.
No, Pac-Man Jones is just happy to get a check last week.
Yo, that was embarrassing. Yo, he didn't want to double move him. My man was, like, completely lost. I was like, damn.
Well,
it wasn't that he was lost, Jimmy. He was looking for the glory. He wanted that pick so bad.
What's funny is I was talking to Austin during that play. I'm sitting there. I'm like, yo, Andre Johnson is so nice, but he gets hurt, like, every 2 hours. Like, yo, he stays hurt. But if not for his injuries, he might be the best receiver in the game.
I don't know. I thought that between him and Fitzgerald, but I'm starting to think that Megatron is the best receiver in the league.
Yeah. I mean,
the dude had 12 catches for over 200 yards last week, and Drew Brees just decided in the second half that I'm tired of this, and it's over.
Yeah.
What did y'all think about that game? I thought we actually had a game, and then it just got ugly.
Drew Brees decided to play defense. He said, look, I'm going to go ahead and play defense.
I know, right?
Hey, Peter,
I want to ask
you a quick question, because I know that I'm going to go back to this real quick. I know that you take pride in slandering the Atlanta Falcons, but in your quick opinion, what do you think they can do to get to the next level? Because none of us can figure it out. Like, what are they missing to get that team from where they are to, you know, legit contenders?
Well, I don't know. I mean, Matty Ice, they might need to go down to the city office and change his name to, like, Matty Oatmeal or something, because he's not really Ice like that. Because in his playoff appearances, he's just coming up short. But as far as the team is concerned, I don't know, because, like you said, they've got Garanimals out wide. Like, they have receivers that can get the job done, but we know that, you know, it's not a receiver that's really going to take you to the promised land. So, I don't know. They have a decent running game. I think maybe, I don't know. I want to look at the quarterback. I don't know if I don't know. Want to maybe Matty.
You know what though?
Joseph Moore, and you know,
whatever they needed
really
in terms
yet.
Of depth, they gave that up on draft night when they traded for Julio Jones.
Right. True that.
I forgot how many picks they gave up to move up, but I remember it was something. It was something kind of diesel, and
I remember.
He turned out to be a pretty good rookie. I don't think he was worth. I don't think any receiver in the draft is worth as much as they gave up to move up and get him. If anybody has that information on what exactly they gave up, let me know. But I know it was something significant.
It's
too much to put into a receiver. Most of the Super Bowl teams don't even have great receivers. It really comes down to a good quarterback, really. But
Tom Brady is throwing the two animals playing tight end. He didn't throw the receiver. Use the receiver.
Those aren't receivers. They're not tight end. Yo, it's like he had two predators out there running around.
Hey, yo, check this out. Speaking of Tom Brady receivers, it was an early morning radio show, and they had two analysts. And one analyst said they had to choose between Megatron and Wes Welker. One analyst said Megatron, hands down, and the other analyst said, I'll take Wes Welker. I was like, are you kidding me?
He was racist.
Yeah. That's
a ridiculous question. But,
Megatron is because of his height. It's almost impossible to stop him. Until you can get a corner that's that tall, it can jump like that.
Yo, I'm a Wes Welker fan. Y'all know that. I wouldn't let Wes Welker practice for Megatron, let alone pick him. What's wrong with you?
Hey, Austin, real quick, listen to this. Okay, Atlanta was 27th. They had the 27th pick in the draft. They had to move up to 6 to get Julio Jones. They gave Cleveland 5 picks. They gave him their first, they gave him their second, and their fourth, and then they gave him the first and fourth in next year's draft for a wide receiver. and he wasn't even the first receiver on their board. So they wanted A.J. Green. They couldn't get A.J. Green, so they traded up, gave up five picks, including two number ones, for Julio Jones. I'm pretty sure whatever ailed them in the playoffs this year, it could have been at least addressed a little bit with some of these picks that they gave up.
Yeah. I don't think about their team. I don't have any kind of defensive player that's like has a nasty streak. I can't think of any of their. They have like a nice defense. They, like, you know what I'm saying? They don't have no player that stands out or makes big plays on defense.
Julio Jones is a tremendous athlete. Obviously, he has a great work ethic. I mean, his first name. But he's not going to be a difference maker. He's not going to be the difference maker they need to take them over the top in the playoffs. I mean, he's going to work hard. Obviously, his route running is going to get better. But
it's possible that he can eventually become a player, but five picks?
Yeah,
hey,
no,
yo, Sons,
no
I got
way.
A question. Hey, I got a question. So basically you're saying, and Jimmy and PJ and Dev, they need a player like this.
There ain't no doggone tomorrow, fellas. What are you going to bring to the doggone church? Are you going to bust somebody in their mouth?
Bust somebody in their mouth.
Like, more like
that. And they got dogs.
Ebonics. Yeah. Clean Ebonics.
We talked about the Falcons enough for this show, Dev.
All right, so yeah, let's go to this weekend's games, the divisional round. We got the Saints and 49ers. We got the Broncos and Patriots. Texans, Ravens, and the Giants, Packers. I want to talk about the Broncos and Patriots real quick, and I don't want to talk about it because of Tebow. I want to talk about it because, okay, everybody knows that their offensive coordinator, Bill O'Brien, is leaving after the season to coach at Penn State. They rehired Josh McDaniels. But Josh McDaniels is coming in this week to assist Bill O'Brien on the offense for the playoff game. Evidently, it's not against league rules, but do any of you guys think that it's, you know, it's something wrong with that? The fact that he started the season with another team?
I don't. It's up to the other team. Like, in order to do that, you have to get approval from his previous team, and obviously they wanted to move on from him anyway.
Yeah. No, Bill Belichick, they say Bill Belichick does that all the time. Like, when they're about to play a team, they'll sign a no-name player that was cut from that team earlier in that season or in training camp. And then they'll cut him like, on Monday right after that game.
He pushes the envelope, but he's always thinking about ways to get an advantage, so I can't even knock him for that.
Even if it includes recording practices.
Hey, look, you ain't trying.
That's what LaDainian Tomlinson said when he heard about that.
He said, you ain't cheating and you ain't trying.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Belichick is always looking for an edge. Now, hiring the ex-coach of the squad, like, I don't know. I mean, I guess you can. Yeah, I don't know.
I guess what I'm wondering is why it's legal. Like, why is that legal? Like, if he's getting hired right now, his duties should start during the offseason. That's just my opinion. I don't think he should be able to come in and help them with a playoff situation that he has nothing to do with. But it's legal, so I guess you can't knock the hustle.
If they win the whole thing, he probably gets a ring and everything.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it is what it is, though. I mean, I don't knock him for, like, making them moves, like Kill said, signing people that got, that's what you want your coach to be doing, always trying to think of a way to get an edge. But in terms of what McDaniel could bring to the table, they're running a completely different offense. I don't know what he can do in terms of trying to help them because he used to coach the Broncos. I know if I see him personally, it's on. That's all I know.
Like PJ told you last week, he gave y'all Tebow, man. Gave y'all Tebow time.
Exactly.
He gave y'all Tebow time.
He got y'all Brian Dawkins. Like, what's the beef?
Yeah.
He passed on Dez Bryant for Demaryius Thomas. Even though Demaryius Thomas made that play, he made Dez Bryant, yo.
Demaryius going to be something.
And he don't wear his pants too low in the mall.
We shall see. I hope Demaryius ends up being a great player, because if not, he's stuck with the name Demaryius. So the only way to get around that is to become great at something.
It'd be a great athlete, yeah. Hey, then he's responsible. He's responsible for Brandon Marshall leaving, and he's responsible for Cutler leaving.
I give him praise for Cutler leaving because I don't like him.
Jimmy don't like Cutler anyway, so that part don't really matter. All right, so even with the Josh McDaniels, I mean, personally, like I said, I just want to know why it's legal, because I really don't think it's going to make a difference. I think the Patriots were going to win the game regardless. But at least now, if you know, they come up with some kind of Bronco magic like they've been coming up with all year, maybe we can just blame it on Josh McDaniels. Like, they didn't pick him up, they would have won the game. So, what are you guys' predictions for that game?
Yo,
you think
yo,
the
Tebow
magic continue?
Hey, yo, since I probably, I don't know if y'all guys picked Denver, but I also picked Cincinnati, who lost, but we didn't get to our picks last week. And I picked the Giants and Denver. Cincinnati, and I forgot what the other name was. And I was like, you know what? There's no way Denver could win the game against the Steelers. But you know what? Tebow's been playing like crap the last 3 weeks. And, yo, this would be a great story. So I'm going to go with the Broncos. So I'm going to do that again. I don't think they have a chance to win, but I'm going to pick them so this Tebow train and bandwagon can just keep going, and we'll see what happens.
Hey, I can openly say right now I am rooting for them. Actually, just because of the way people hate the dude, I hope the Broncos win the Super Bowl. But I don't see it happening. I don't see it happening. And I got Tom Terrific and the boys ending the magical run this week. PJ, what do you think about this one?
Yeah, I agree. I don't see Denver winning. I think Tom is going to put up too much. He's been sitting for 2 weeks. Watching the Tebow special on ESPN and all that, and he's gonna come out swinging. I think
they're not gonna be able to match them scoring wise.
Yeah.
Austin, what do you think? Is it Tebow time, or is it time to go?
Let me say this, man. I'm a fan. I admit it. I'm a little biased, but you know, I believe in Tebow's. Tebow's heist, I believe. But it ain't no way. Yo, he's not beating Tom, man. He's not beating Tom Terrific in New England. I thought the Steelers would win, but I'm even more adamant because, you know, Ben had that killer instinct when tacos and yams are the subject. But Tom got that killer, man. He hates the fact that Tebow gets the attention. I don't think he hates Tebow, but I think he hates the attention and the media swirl. So that alone is going to drive him to have a tremendous game. And point blank, the New England offense just puts up too many points for Denver to compete. Tim Tebow in his career will never put up a 40-point game. He's just not that type of quarterback, even when he masters the game. So yeah, I got New England.
Jim, we know who you're rooting for, Jim.
But I'm gonna start off by saying I can't be objective at all. But at the same time, I'm actually going with the Broncos. Because I mean, Brady has to prove something to me too. Brady hasn't won a playoff game since the Giants, beat him in the Super Bowl. He's lost the last several playoffs in the first time, their first game or whatever. So I'm going with the Broncos for that reason. And also, when you look at the last time they played, it was 41-23. But the defense, I mean, the offense made 20 turnovers and put the defense in bad position.
Right.
So they can cut the turnovers. I mean, they can keep it close. If they keep it close, I think they got a shot.
All right. What are you guys' thoughts or predictions on the Saints 49ers game? Is the 49ers defense good enough to match up with what's going on in New Orleans right now? The game is in San Fran, so they got the home field advantage. The weather's supposed to be somewhere in the 60s, so you won't see that messed up track that they have sometimes up in San Fran. So New Orleans should be okay in that department. What's going to happen, offense or defense, in this one?
I got the Saints. I got the Saints winning that, and them putting up like 30-13.
Yeah. Well, because you know San Fran is basically going to try to run the ball, try to keep Drew Brees off the field. So you don't think they'll be successful at doing
that? I think Alex Smith is still a bum. Alex Smith is still a bum.
The thing is, like, I've been trying to gather up a little more respect for the 49ers, but for me, I still think it's kind of hard to believe in them. Maybe, you know, one more year of being one of the better teams in the league, then maybe I can believe it. So I'm going to go with the Saints also. I think what Drew Brees and that offense is doing right now might be a little too much even for a pretty good defense like the 49ers. PJ, who you got?
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, that was brief.
Did he cut out?
Yeah.
Is Mike cut out? Go ahead, Austin.
No, he's not. I don't think that they're going to be able to keep up, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, I know that I don't think Drew Brees is going to put up like 40, but when they do score and the opportunity they do have to move the ball and get points on the board, I don't think that San Fran's going to match that. Because like Kill said, I still don't believe in Alex.
Yeah.
I don't believe in him.
So first of all, not wishing on him or anything, but Gore's going to get hurt. That's going to leave Alex Smith out there to play hero by himself, and it's not going to work. Mark my words on that, people. Remember I said it.
Yeah, all I'm saying is I've been actually picking the Saints to win the game all week. But for some reason, I don't know, I'm starting to feel like the 49ers have a shot. I think they want to, like, you know, slow the game down, run the ball like Dev said. But I got the Saints. I'm going to go with the Saints. I'm going to stick to my guns. I'm going to go with the Saints.
But you know with the Saints, besides, you know, their Super Bowl year, they've been known to choke a little bit in the playoffs. So.
This is true. This is true. This is absolutely true.
When they're
true,
supposed
so.
To drill somebody, sometimes they lose. Austin, who you
got? Like,
I believe.
It's going to shock me if the Niners won because the Niners play this, like, they play, like, old school football. Like, yo, slow the game down, yo.
Really? Yo, the Niners, I have a lot of respect for what they do on defense. And, you know, they don't have a lot of star power, but they have very, very quality players and athletes on the defensive side of the ball. We always disagree on their left corner. But other than him, I think defensively, they're stout. But as everybody
Why are you crapping
said,
on Carlos Rogers, man? He's a good cornerback.
Nigga, not good.
You got a redskin.
They throw the ball if you throw the ball, they throw the ball at you a whole lot, you get a lot of opportunity. But I think that they can't keep pace with the Saints, man. They can't keep pace. And I think that they will hold the Saints under their average considerably. But as you said, they don't have enough explosion offensively. You know, if you gotta depend on Alex Smith to make plays, it ain't gonna happen, man.
Yo, they got Akers though. Akers gonna put up like 6 field goals, they're gonna win 18-14.
Carlos
Rogers
still a good corner.
You think they'll
even score 14? I'm just saying, I've seen them shut down. Like the way they play the game is like the Saints won't have as many opportunities because they slow the game down. Like, yo, they run the rock very well.
They can play down and play field position.
The
Saints, yeah, they have a chance.
The Saints don't really need that many opportunities.
Yeah, they don't need that many.
Because they'll get,
like
they'll get hot to where they just score in bunches. Like, they'll score maybe 3 possessions in a row, and then like 5 plays or less. So
yeah,
you know, that might be the only time they score, but can San Francisco put up
good
points?
Man, superstar Jimmy Graham be putting up numbers.
Yeah, he's tough. Let's move on to the we got to hurry up so we can get a little bit of NBA in before we finish. So we got 2 games. We can just go predictions with it. Texans, Ravens. I got the Ravens. I think this is where the Texans train ends. T.J. Yates has been real, but that Baltimore Ravens defense, they got too many stars on it, and it's going to be a little different. I mean, Cincinnati has a pretty good defense, but this one is going to be different because some of these guys and the pedigree of their defense, going in as a rookie quarterback, you might be a little intimidated before the game even starts, you know, let alone when they start getting up in you. So I got the Ravens.
I don't bet against my uncle.
Well, that's 2 for the Ravens.
Yeah, I think Ray Rice is going to kill them. He's going to be all on his juice bar, John, and he's going to come out there and he's going to
he's going to have some bark shots before the game.
He's going to have some bark shots. He's going to
kill the Texans. I think Ray Rice is going to have a breakout game and make him a superstar.
Just for the simple fact that Terrell Suggs can't close his mouth and it makes him work harder, I'm going with the Ravens. Literally, not that he can't stop talking, but his jaws don't come together to close. And I know his breath stinks. But other than that, I still got the Ravens.
Got the bacteria building up.
Yeah, he got the mucus. He probably got that mucus smell. He's putting the mucus smell in dudes.
Yo, I got the Ravens, and shout out to my pick earlier this year when I picked them to win the division. Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, I got them representing the AFC in the Super Bowl this year. But it's hard to make that pick with Joe Flacco on the team, man, for real. But
exactly.
Giants Packers, like weeks ago, this would have been a hands down thing, but I hear a lot of sentiment creeping out nationally for the Giants maybe being able to pull an upset on this. Is it people that's just knee-jerk reacting to Giants' late success, or do you guys think they really have a chance?
Yeah, I think they have a chance, and this reminds me of their Super Bowl year where their backs were against the wall. Their last two games were basically, the regular season were basically playoff games with the Jets and then the Cowboys. So I think the Giants are the hottest team in the league right now with a lot of momentum. So
whoa,
I think the Giants.
What about the Saints, Kill? What about the Saints?
What about what?
In terms of the hottest team, they're not hotter than the Saints.
Yeah, I think so. I think because now they found their running game. They found their running game, and like they're balanced. Their defenses, they're getting pressure with four pass rushers. So I think they're coming into their own right now. Quiet as kept.
I don't know if it's fool's gold or not, though. I don't know what you really can find against the Falcons, because you might find out that that wasn't real.
I'm gonna keep it way 100. With Kill, when you analyze that and make that comparison, look at the Giants' secondary and look at their linebacking core from those years. They didn't have a whole bunch of stars, kind of like the Niners, but they had quality back there. I'll take an old Sam Madison over a young Corey Webster. Their secondary is okay at best, and their linebackers, the ones that are good, have been injured most of the season and haven't really had time to gel. They're weak. Their strength on defense is their front four, and their receivers, though talented, they're still depending on Victor Cruz. He's their number one. And while I'm a fan, I don't think it's his time yet in the playoffs. So I think that Eli's going to have to battle with that inconsistency.
That's Zombie's daddy.
But remember when they played the first time, it was actually a very close game until Aaron Rodgers.
38-35.
Yeah, remember Aaron Rodgers running at the end of the game.
Yeah, because actually Eli went down the score with like less than 3 minutes left, and Rodgers took them right back down.
Right, took them right back down.
I didn't get the Meadowlark. Meadowlark is the deciding factor because he's going to do what he wants against their secondary.
That might go for Eli, too.
I know, I ain't going front. I slept on Eli a little bit coming into the beginning of this year. And, this is his best year that I've ever seen him play. And
I've been screaming for all season, you can't spell elite without Eli. But with that being said, his receivers had made it very difficult to argue for him because while he's putting the ball on the money, they're doing their best to show that I have no hands. So,
I don't know. I gotta go with the Packers, but I think it's gonna be a very good game.
Yeah, I'm gonna go with the Packers as well. I think it's.
Man, I'm going with the Packers, man. Let's talk about hoops real quick. Run out of time, man.
Yeah. So that's
our game, man. We're gonna jump right in the basketball, y'all. Let's jump right in the basketball. And only thing I want to say is Kobe and LeBron won the Players of the Week last week. Kobe is acting like he's 23. LeBron is playing out of his mind unless it's the fourth quarter. Yo, here's the funny thing. Last night when he went to the foul line, I was like, come on, man, there's no way he can sell out again. It's to the point now where I feel bad for him. I went from laughing at dude to, like, feeling bad for him. Like, yo, he must have, like, yo, he must have a mental block or something. Like, what's going on with this dude, man?
I think it is. Hey, Jim, last week, real quick, LeBron and Heat went 3-1. LeBron averaged 31 points on 60% shooting, 9.3 assists, 7.3 rebounds, and 1.3 steals. Kobe averaged 33 points a game last week, 6.3 assists, and he played a team high, averaging 38 minutes. I think it is a mental thing with LeBron, man, because he dominates every game, just straight up dominates the game. And then when if it's close in the final minutes, I don't know, man, he just turns into a different player. Last night he was a little more aggressive, and I can respect that because if you're just missing shots, you're missing shots. But sometimes when he's shooting at the end of the game, I think it's kind of contrived because he hears the criticism and the pressure, so he just goes out there jacking because he feels that he has to. So I don't know. I mean, I know the criticism is crazy, but he walks a very fine line, but it's definitely a mental thing with him.
Let me ask you gentlemen something. Let's assume that you guys are as good at what you do as LeBron is at what he does, and you go to work and you've got an 8-hour day, and you work 6 of those hours, and then, you know, the job is 3/4 of the way done, and then the last 2 hours come, and you just start sweating in your palms, you start stuttering, you can't pick your pencil up, your pen, whatever it is you do, you can't complete the task. So every day, when it comes to that 6-hour going into that 7th, your job is left incomplete. Now, meanwhile, there's a guy that sits next to you. He goofs off for 6 hours, but in the last 2 hours, not only does he complete his work, it's excellent work. So he only needs 2 hours to get the job done and get a job done well. You see where I'm going with this, man. Go
with your long ass analogy, man. Look, bottom line is, in the first 3 quarters, he's like one of the best players, if not the best player in the league. It's just that he has a mental.
So was Chris Webber. So was Chris Webber.
And this is true. This is true. Chris Webber was a beast. But I think that with D. Wade and his foot being hurt, it kind of messed him up because it looked like going into the season that D. Wade was going to be the closer and that was going to be it. But I feel sorry for dude because, like, yo, his talent is so crazy. There's no – yo – and I was going to say he should at least get to the foul line, but he did. He goes up there, too.
Can we just stop people? Can people just stop saying that? Like, can people just all acknowledge that Kobe is the best player in the league right now? Like, it's not even knee jerk because
Kobe, they got him down to 7, 8, 9.
7 and 8. I was almost like banged out. Yo. My thing is this. It's not knee jerk. There's never been
in the chat room now hating on him, man. Talking about, he did his thing against Phoenix and Utah, not exactly noteworthy team. My
can you
is,
tell them that there's only been two players? Yo, there's only been two other players, test in their 16th season, that have scored 40 points. And
back-to-back
he did it back-to-back night with a bionic knee and a wrist that he put Novocaine in every night. Come on, man.
Yo, you know what? You know what?
I hate,
man,
when people try to diminish what the point does, man. Yeah. Somebody told me his 81 wasn't impressive because it was Toronto. Last I checked, Toronto, Phoenix, Utah, all of these people were in the NBA. Last I checked, Grant Hill was a pretty damn good defender.
Exactly.
Last I checked, Rajah Bell was a pretty good defender. So I'm not trying to hear that.
And it's for my man, like 120th 40-point game. Like, it ain't like he just started scoring 40 now. He always
is. He averaged 63 3/4 that same season.
Yeah, but that's just the thing that we always talk about that separates the good from the great. Like, it's, you got to finish. Like Brad was saying, if you can't finish your job, dog, you can't really do the job. Like, you have to be able to finish.
I'm going to keep it way real and 100 with y'all. What it is, and I this is going to add some validity to Jimmy's arguments about Mike. What it is, the difference, I'm going to take it to Mike Jordan and Kobe. Mike Jordan, we never really knew what he was or who he was as a person. The mean and nasty, disgusting human being that Mike actually is a part of what makes him great and makes him win. The difference is they marketed Michael Jordan as a nice guy who could sell everything. LeBron is a nice guy who sells things. Kobe Bryant has no part to that. He's a killer. And most human beings, either consciously or subconsciously, can't relate to being a killer in the clutch. So you can't really relate to Kobe, and so you slight what he does because you know you can't do it. My breakdown.
I don't even know what to say after that.
Shout out on like 250 million people.
Can't do it. You can't relate.
Yo, we can't relate to Kobe, so we can't even judge him because we just can't relate to that, man.
If you try to,
Kobe might be one of the most mentally strong players ever.
If it's
I get what he's saying. Kobe has an attitude that he just doesn't care. LeBron wants to be loved by everybody.
If it's time to step on a cute, cuddly little bunny rabbit to get the victory, most human beings, LeBron included, are going to flinch, and they're not going to do it. Kobe's going to step on that bunny rabbit and smile and score that bucket. There's a rumor. There's a rumor going around that Kobe and the Bull three heads. We call Dwight Howard three heads because he got three heads, two shoulders and a head. They were Dwight Howard. They were texting back and forth preseason about how great it would be to play together. And then Kobe had the injury in the preseason, injured the wrist. So Dwight started talking around his camp that, you know, I don't know, Kobe's got a lot of mileage, he's getting a little old, that injury could be major. I don't know whether I want to go to L.A. because how long is he going to be at the level where he's been in past? Kobe got wind of Dwight talking and kind of backing off of wanting to come to L.A. So now he's just going to baptize him all season with these 40-point performances as a recruiting move to pull Dwight and show him, if you're going to doubt me, I'm going to give you 40s, 50s, and 60s.
So that's a great point. Before we get out, I want everybody to talk about our hometown Sixers who are balling out of control. And I'll also let Rank Top 5 know we might be able to make that bet.
Yo, shout out to my young Sixers. I mean, they're playing in the league right now where really in the end they don't have a chance, you know, because everybody's starting the super team up. They're doing the whole team thing because there's not any – I was about to say not a lot. There aren't any stars on the Sixers. But Doug Collins knows what he's doing. You know, he's coaching them up real well. And they're going to at least make it interesting. But, you know, in my mind, you kind of know, like, we don't have a shot in hell at raising the championship. But I guess we just got to go along for the ride, man.
Look, man, I ain't even going to say that. Maybe I'm naive, but I watched Hoosiers too many times. And, you know, where the good guys always win. But, yo, shout out to the hometown Sixers, yo, and my man Iggy, because I'm the last Iggy fan left in Philly. But
you know John Hollinger in his weekly power rankings had the Sixers at number one.
Deservingly so. And also, like I said before, rank top five, we're gonna see y'all Bulls too, yo.
Talking about we got punked last night by the Knicks. I can get punked.
Man, that was our fifth game in six nights. That was the fifth game in like six nights.
I see the homie Dave Lucas in our room too,
yo.
And he a Bulls fan?
You don't want to get my man Dave started.
shout out to Dave Lucas. I know he a Bulls fan. We're going to see y'all too.
I got Lou giving the boy that can't speak English major buckets.
So I ain't saying nothing. Negative about Derrick Rose, because Derrick Rose is not from this planet.
Nah, Derrick Rose is a different animal altogether.
He's a different species, yo. I ain't saying nothing negative about him, but we gonna see y'all though. Anyway, man, thanks for joining us in the war room this evening, good people. Special thanks to everyone who participated in the chat room, Facebook, Twitter, and by calling the Digital Extreme Technologies Hotline. Tune in next week, same time, same place, to get your weekly fix. We'll be talking NFL Conference Championships. So until next week, everybody, watch out, young Sixers, and we'll holler at you.
What?
bye.